Our passage today comes from Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and to deal with sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. For the beauty of each hour given to us, of the day, of the night, all seasons, O God, we give you thanks. In good times and in challenging times. And for thyself, best gift divine to the world, so freely given, for that great, great love of thine, peace on earth and joy in heaven, Lord of all, to thee we raise this, our hymn of grateful praise. Amen. We had hoped to be worshiping outside and to welcome many of you to join us in person, and to record that, and for you who are watching at home to be able to share in that experience by watching it. Unfortunately, our bishop made the difficult but understandable call yesterday. Today is actually Saturday when this is being recorded, so on Friday, that we needed to suspend all in-person gatherings yet again through the end of the month of July. We thank you for your patience and your understanding, but more than that, I thank you for continuing to live like the church, to witness to the power of God in Jesus Christ in ways great and small, and I hope to share some about that in the message today. We are apart, but we are the church together, and we will press on, and God will continue to use us and bless us. So we pray for those who are sick. We pray for those who are struggling. We pray for our community as the number of cases of this virus continues to rise, and we give it all to God. And we continue to let God lead us in this unprecedented time. We're in Romans chapter 8. The Apostle Paul uses a word in Romans 8 that he's almost not used at all for the entire letter to the Romans. It's a word you know. It's the word spirit. In Greek, it's pneuma. It's where we get pneumonia. It can mean spirit, wind, or breath. But what's interesting is that from Romans chapter 1 to chapter 7, Paul uses this word five times, a mere five times. It's scattered across seven chapters. You almost have to go digging for it to find it. Oh, have I found it? There it is. There it is. One, two, five times. And then you get to chapter 8, and boom, just in the first 11 verses that Amber read, the Apostle Paul uses the word spirit 11 times in 11 verses. In the whole 8th chapter, he uses it over 20 times. Friends, this is the scholarly term. What scholars say about this is a lot. It's a lot. He uses it a lot. And there's a reason for it. It's almost like he's been saving up this word, this talk about the Spirit for this time where he says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. And he goes on to talk about life in the Spirit, the Spirit. I was in high school, and my mother and I were going to go to some kind of a birthday party. I don't know why my father and my brother didn't go. Maybe they weren't invited, probably a good idea. But we went to this birthday party, and our job was to bring some 2-liter drinks, some Sprite, some Coke, Dr. Pepper, Mr. Pibb. Not going to get into that debate. And so we had 3 or 4 2-liter bottles of soft drinks. And my mother said, and I was new to driving, she said, you can drive and you can also carry those bottles and put them in the car, and just be careful how you place them in the car. Okay. So like a very careful and attentive and conscientious teenage boy, I put them in the back seat, not in the floorboard secured. I put them in the back seat, not secured by books or anything else. I just put them in the back seat. And then got in the car and backed up our driveway, which was like that, and heard something in the back seat go tronk, and pretended not to hear it. And then we kept going and went around a couple of curves. And all of a sudden, we started to hear this sound. It sounded like a lawn sprinkler going. And we said, what is that? And we turned the radio down. What is that? And then we realized that what it was, was those 2-liter soft drink bottles that I had just thrown in the back seat. They had fallen out and they had hit something in the floorboard, and a couple of them had punctured. And you know what happens to carbonated beverage when you shake it up, and it was going. So my mother, all of a sudden, it was like a scene out of a movie. She said, pull over, get them out. And I jumped out of the car and I ran out into the road, into the back seat, and threw open the door, and I pulled them out, and I swear, whoa, and I threw them into the woods that was right there. And do you know how big of an explosion they made? Not really that big, actually, but they did explode and cascade down the rocks that they had landed on. They went poof. I tell you that story, one, just because I like that story, but two, because it's something like the experience of reading Romans 1 through 7, and the Spirit is just here and there, and then you get to Romans 8, and it's a cascade of the Spirit. Paul's talking about the Holy Spirit here, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, friends, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, Jesus who lived, loved, taught, died, rose, ascended, sits at the right hand of the Father, and is present through the Holy Spirit. He's with us in the Holy Spirit. That's the Spirit that we're talking about. It's the Spirit of peace, where there's uncertainty, where there's conflict, where there's anxiety, where there's fear, where there's a pandemic. It's the Spirit of peace. It's a Spirit of power that first sent the church out into the world to proclaim the gospel, that sent us out ever since in all seasons and all times to live and to proclaim the gospel. It's the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of power, and it's a Spirit of healing. Wherever there's brokenness, wherever there's division, wherever there's sickness of any kind, sickness of the body or of the soul or in society, it's a Spirit of healing. And that's the Spirit that has exploded on the scene in Romans 8. And Paul is trying to get us to see that Spirit has come onto the world scene, the cosmic scene, in a powerful way. And he sums up this little bit of the chapter in verse 11. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, if, and he means it does, but if that Spirit dwells in you, then he who raised Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also. If the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of peace, the Spirit of power, the Spirit of healing, the Spirit of resurrection lives in you, among you, in your midst, then the God who raised Jesus from the dead will give you life, will give us life. That's the promise of the Spirit. We've had a chance to experience that and see that up close this week in the life of our church. We called it Missions Week. We were led largely by our youth group. Maybe you've seen pictures on Facebook or you've heard stories, but people of all ages came out and did various projects around the community and here at the church, and many people who didn't feel comfortable getting out and doing that kind of work drove through the church and picked up mission kits, and they took them home, and they put them together, and they brought them back, and some of those have already been given to people to bless them in the community. We had a team that was up at the local schools pulling weeds, painting in the hot sun, because we really don't know what's going to happen with school, but we know that we love the children in our community, and we love our teachers, and we love our administrators, and we love our school, and so we were there. We were here on our church property clearing out our new nature trail. It's a prayer path. It's a way for people in the church and in the community to come here and walk around a part of our property that people who've been here for 25 years didn't even know was here. And it takes you through the woods behind, and you feel like you're deep in nature. And there'll be places for people to pray. And so we were in there cutting down trees, weed eating, digging up roots, building bridges over muddy spots. There's still more work to do, but it's well underway. On Thursday afternoon, our youth group went up Boyd's Creek Highway just a little ways to a spot just behind what is now St. Paul Episcopal Church. Many of you know that St. Paul Episcopal Church was once Trundle's Crossroads United Methodist Church. That is the church that moved from Boyd's Creek to Chapman Highway to become Seymour United Methodist Church. That used to be our church building. Behind that church is a parking lot, and up on the hill by that parking lot is an overgrown area that just looks like woods until you look a little closer and you see little rocks sticking up. And then you see that one of those rocks is a tombstone and another one is a tombstone. Not long after I moved here 3 years ago, somebody said that up behind the old church, it's not the old church to the people who go there now, but our old church, is a slave cemetery. It turns out that if I read my history right, it's not a slave cemetery per se. It's a cemetery that was established, that was set aside for the African-American community, segregated for the African-American community to bury their dead after slavery ended. And so, yes, there are people buried there who were born into slavery, and there are people who are buried there who are the children of former slaves. A few of the graves have markers. Some of them are just rough stones, and some of them are falling apart. And our youth went out there because this area is overgrown and began to clear it and began to pull up the weeds and make it begin to look beautiful again. We only got to do it for part of one day. The work is ongoing. If you would like to come and help us continue that, and to be ongoing caretakers in looking after this space, let us know. We'll take you up there. But not only that, in the midst of all that, our missions committee of the church helped to, in this sanctuary on Thursday evening, pack 300 bags of food through Second Harvest Food Bank for children in Pigeon Forge who will need that nourishment over the next month. We had a crew that was out building a deck for a neighbor who needed help getting their deck repaired. And just for fun, we also served over 250 meals on Wednesday night to the community. It's been a good week. There's been blood, there's been sweat, there's been tears, there's been poison ivy, but it's been a very, very good week. We've been able to see very clearly the church at work. So I have an announcement. I have an announcement. I have an announcement. I have an announcement, everybody. I have an announcement. Are you ready for this? Every week is Missions Week. Now, I know I just made a few planners and leadership people very nervous. Don't worry, this is not new news. Every week is Missions Week. It's always been the case and always will be. Ever since Jesus Christ walked out of his tomb alive, ever since the Holy Spirit came down on that first Pentecost with the fire and the power and the presence of God, every week has been Missions Week. It started at the resurrection. It started at Pentecost. We're not always, not every week, going to have this many projects going on, but we always have a mission. Our lives are a mission. Our life together is a mission. I heard a theologian say a few years ago, and this is just great, that it's actually not just that each church needs to come up with its own mission statement, and you do. Every church needs to have a mission statement, but what we need to know is that God has a mission, and God is using the church to accomplish God's mission. This is life in the Spirit. So if you're at work, whether you're still working from home, whether you're working outdoors or you're working in the office, you're a missionary. If you're unemployed and you're looking for work, you're still a missionary. If you're retired, if you're studying in school, you are a missionary. Everything that you do when you're at the store, when you're sitting in traffic, and yes, when you're on social media, everything that you do, you are a missionary for Jesus Christ, sharing the gospel by the way that you live, the way that you love. Everything that you do, you are a missionary. We are a missionary. This is the mission. I remember sitting in youth group one night, and our youth director said to the group, one of the things that we need to do, she said, is we need to be able to tell people about Jesus. We need to share our faith. 17 at the time, and I thought, oh, that sounds hard. And then another young man gave voice to my exact thought. He raised his hand and he said, can we appoint a committee to do that? That's a kid who'd been raised in church, right? Can we appoint a committee to do that? And I'll never forget that the youth director said, no, that's everyone's job, to share their faith and tell people about Jesus. That's everyone's job. And I guess it was then that I really learned, it clicked for me, that you don't just let the praise team be the ones to sing praises. You don't just let the choir be the ones to sing. You just don't let the preacher be the one to preach, the prayer team to pray. It's the work of all of us to praise God, to study God's word, to preach the gospel, to live the gospel. That's life in the Spirit. And the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you and through you and will give life to you through that same Spirit. In the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen.